Ursula Black has said that she feels lonely and missed out on seeing a film recently because she had no one to accompany her to the cinema. That's a really sad story, and it's something that we have to be very, very aware of. She said her husband died of lung cancer in 1999 and said she was yet to watch an ITV drama series which explores her rise to fame. And obviously we're going to see it soon, I presume. But she said, yeah, it's just a tough time. It's no fun getting older. And it is a hard time. We have to keep an eye on our family and friends and relatives and mums and dads at this time in their lives, because we assume that they're grand. But actually, as Cilla Black says, it's not fun. And you've also got the issue for our parents' generation, whereby they're not breaking down and old. They're getting older, but they're not old in the sense that they're not 500 years old sitting there going, I am 70. 70's not old anymore. 80's nearly old. 90's old, but still you see people driving around and acting the maggot. So just as a generation, we have a responsibility, I think, to try and recalibrate our attitude to age and ageism. And I think it's a serious problem. And it was Cilla's Black that alerted me to that there this morning as I was reading it along. Well, I want to talk to Annette now. Good morning to you, Annette.
How are you?
I'm very good. What part of the world are you in?
Down in Kerry.
Beautiful. We were only there last week.
And the weather, I'm sure, was better than it was today.
No, it was exactly the same. It was grey and overcast and quite wet, as it happens. But that didn't take away from how much fun we had, which was immense. Now, what have I been talking about this morning that caught your ear?
Just people that find themselves in a rut, don't know what to do and not getting out.
Yeah, a bit of loneliness.
Yeah, that's it.
So what's the answer?
Well, I just found for me it was clubs. I had been sick and just found myself in a little bit of rot after it, and I joined the club and it just really made a huge difference. I couldn't believe just how many openings it created.
So you were sick for a while?
Yep, I had a cancer diagnosis, and after that then just, you know, the way sickness and everything else tends to go down and your mental health tends to take a little bit of a dip as well.
So, and, did you recover from the cancer? Is that all behind you now?
In remission, thankfully.
Thankfully, okay, so, well, good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. And then you say you found yourself in a bit of a rut. And how would you explain or describe that?
Well, I suppose you still have, you know, I have very good friends and everything, and I had work and a fantastic family support. But just mentally, your mental health, I think, takes quite a bang, far more than your physical health.
Yeah.
After a cancer diagnosis, and so
how does it affect you mentally, do you think?
I don't know whether this would make sense or not now, but I found I almost went into, it was almost like a grieving process.
Yeah.
That you were kind of grieving for the memories and for the plans that you had for the future.
Did you feel that those plans may not be realizable because of imminent death?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and so you were writing yourself off.
You didn't have that courage of, you know, where you, on a day-to-day basis, you kind of always plan towards the future and say, oh, when I retire, I do this, or down the road, I'll do that and the other.
Yeah.
And that, I suppose, it's just, you don't have that comfort, that luxury, with a cancer diagnosis, that you're always kind of looking over your shoulder to a certain extent. And I found that it was almost like a grieving process for the future, really, and for, you know, especially when you have kids and that you just felt the sense that you didn't have that luxury.
Did you find that you were slightly alienated from, by virtue of your own attitude, maybe you did the alienating from family and friends and a little bit?
Oh, absolutely, because I suppose you're the one going through it. It's very hard for anybody else to understand exactly what you're going through.
Mm. So you come,
it's just such a shock to the system.
Of course it is. And so you come out the other side, and just to get back to the idea of loneliness and maybe not having as many friends as you once had, is that where you found yourself looking around?
No, I would definitely have not been suffering from loneliness.
Good.
It was just literally I needed something to take my mind off the situation.
Okay, so a distraction of sorts.
A distraction, yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. And I just thought, you know, when you were talking this morning about people being lonely, I said they're in the same sort of mental state, if you like,
yeah,
in the sense that they're not thinking maybe completely straight. And that, you know, there's so many clubs out there, everything from the Men's Shed Club for older men or younger men even, to I joined a swimming club. You know, there are so many walking clubs. There's something there to suit every taste. And they're all there at a beginner's level. So you don't have to have, if you're shy, you don't have to worry about going in there and meeting people that are in an established club. You know, you can go in at a beginner's level and meet people that are just new like yourself.
And now lots of friends, and you were lacking for them, but your mental health improved as a result of what? The contact physically with people, well, or the contact physically with nature?
For me, swimming, while I was learning to swim and while I was focusing on not thinking, my mind was shut off from everything else. So I found that hour in the pool was like meditation. You know, my mind was completely switched off from every worry that I had or every stress that I had, that I was so focused on putting one hand in front of the other and learning the technique and doing everything, that it was just, it was like a little holiday from my own mind while that was going on.
Okay, well, that's a good lesson to have. It's funny, as you were talking, they're talking about the reflection on life and the imminent potential being removed from you with cancer diagnosis. That John Lennon song, Beautiful Boy, which uses the quote that life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
Exactly.
And I think that expression was echoing in my head as you were talking, there's a need for one and all to stop planning someday, and make someday today.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's nice to plan too. I think it's very healthy to.
But you can plan yourself to death, literally.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, listen, it's been good to talk to you, and I hope the remission flies and that you fly it and you continue to swim and swim safely and happily.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you, Annette.
Take care.
Bye for now. 51552 is the text number. That's Annette on this. It's funny what triggers in people's head. We were talking about being older and lonely, and somebody else triggered them saying, well, I'm a young widow at late 30s and I'm lonely too. And then Annette saying, well, actually, that's the first time I've heard a cancer described as a sort of the grieving process, the mourning, almost for what might not happen, even though she wasn't told it's terminal. But it was enough for her to kind of get the idea that the word, it's just the word. If a doctor says the word cancer, it immediately equates with death. Bang. And that's a cold thing to say, but that's what the hell it is. And thankfully for lots of people, it's not. You just get to one, two stages. Others go all the way. But just that word, it's like the bogeyman, but very real and very unpleasant. But thankfully, in this case, and after coming out the other side and swimming, doing it for her.